Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You ever get that feeling? The walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins.
Welcome to This Country Life. I'm your host, Brent Reeves. From coon hunting to trot lining and just general country living, I want you to stay a while as I share my stories and country skills that'll help you beat the system. This Country Life is proudly presented as part of Meat Eaters Podcast Network, bringing you the best outdoor podcasts the airways have to offer. All right, friends, pull you up a chair or drop that tailgate. I think I got a thing or two to teach you. Mississippi River Expedition. Back in January, me and Clay Newcomb, you know, the mule man extraordinaire and questionable meat-eater turkey calling contest winner, that guy. Well, we purposely acquired a boat and enough possibles to zip down the mighty Mississippi on a 250-mile trek to hunt fish. I'm going to tell you some stuff on how that all got started, but first, I'm going to tell you a story. Since a boat was a major fixture on our most recently aired adventure, here's a story about one. I've owned several over the years, and while at present I can temporarily be counted among the boatless, boats and I have a storied partnership. Lots of my misadventures that I've detailed on here have involved boats. Everything from nearly buying the farm on the Arkansas River during a severe thunderstorm to sitting in the heat of summer on Lake Chico eating sardines for breakfast, or unintentionally mooning an elderly couple as my brother and I swam like Tarzan minus his loincloth at Bug Island on the Saline River. But a boat was and remains important to me. I like them. I like to use them doing the things I like to do, whether it's catching fish or gigging frogs or chasing animals to feed me and my family. Some folks say that boat, B-O-A-T, stands for bust out another thousand, referencing the cost of upkeep on a boat. Now, I have found that the more you use one, the cheaper it is to operate, especially the smaller boats that I've had my experience with. That may be true with party barges and big ski or bass boats, but my minimalist approach to the boats that I've owned have always been pretty simplistic. I want to be safe, stay dry, and not paddle where I'm going. I don't ever recall turning a boat over, dangerously swamping one, or having a wreck of any significance, by which I mean at all. I've never been one who wanted to go faster than what I consider to be safe, even in the ignorance of my youth, or last week. My dad taught me at an early age. We were brim fishing on the lake, and he said, "Son, you have got to be careful out here. There's more water on the outside of this boat than you can safely drink to save yourself should you fall in it." Well, I never forgot that. I love the water. I ain't scared of it, but I respect it. And there were times when you could question that last statement, and here's one of them. Opening day of the last split of duck season, right after Christmas in the early 90s. An acquaintance of mine wanted to go hunting with me and Tim. Tim's my older brother and my duck hunting partner. And we took him to Cane Creek Lake near Star City, Arkansas. He was a large lad, not obese, just a big human. If y'all been keeping score through the podcast, that's the spot where I nearly got driven into the ground like one of John Henry's railroad spikes into a cross tie when a big snag broke off that I was standing beside and almost fell on me. It's also the place that I killed my first duck, long before it was a public lake. If you hadn't heard those stories, skip back to episode 171 of This Country Life, Ducks, Trees, and Danger, and catch up with the rest of the class. Anyway, we were early to the boat ramp that morning, and it was cold. Anything that had water on it or in it was frozen, including the fuel line going from the gas tank to the 99 horsepower motor that belonged to our acquaintance. Now, I don't recall the circumstances of why we were using his boat. Obviously, Tim and I, neither one of them had seen it before, or we'd have been using one of ours. It was 12 feet long and 36 inches wide. You ever wonder how they figured the passenger capacity on a boat? Well, wonder no more. You multiply the length of the boat times the width and divide it by 15. The answer is the number of people your boat is rated for. Now, here's something that seems important to add. The person that equation is referring to is a human being that weighs 150 pounds. So doing a little more math and channeling my most favorite math teacher of all time, Miss Brenda McDougal, if we could multiply 3 times 12, we get 36. You divide 36 by 15, you get 2.4. So that meant our boat was rated for 2.4 humans that weighed 150 pounds. 2.4 humans, that's a ratio, Opie, and we're taking him fishing. If you're younger than 40, you ain't getting that joke, but watch Season 1, Episode 8 of The Andy Griffith Show, and you will. Moving on. Our boat was rated for 360 pounds, and that's not counting the gear we was towing. Just the items that don't float without assistance and breathe air. We were all above that 150-pound average, way above it, and we had a giant bag of decoys, other items plus shotguns and shells. Sketchy. But we were there to go duck hunting, and duck hunting we would go. Except the motor wouldn't start with water in the fuel line. We removed the fuel line and melted the ice from the inside. Now don't ask me how I did that, because only having y'all think of me as a complete idiot is good enough without me confirming it for you. Let's just say that Tim used to smoke and did so when this story took place. Thankfully, he quit a long time ago, and if we were faced with that same situation now as we were then, I'd be unable to borrow the item from him that I used to thaw off that fuel line. Now, if you think that was dumb, get a load of this. With the fuel line thawed, emptied of water, reconnected and primed with fuel, we fired that little 99 Johnson up and it was purring like a kitten when Tim and I stood on opposite sides of that boat as our captain sat at the helm. We had a huge bag of decoys, 3 shotguns, ammo boxes full of shells, a grub box full of snacks, and enough coffee to wash a car with between us left little room for a matching set of exercise professional duck killers, like me and Tim. So we climbed in at the same time with each of our inboard legs and 2/3 of what was attached to them inside the boat as we lay flat along the gunwales of the boat. Our outboard knees were hanging overboard and skimming the surface of the water as that boat struggled to stay afloat. Now, we had less than 3/4 mile to go from the boat ramp to the spot we had picked out. And in one of our boats, it would have taken about 3 minutes to get there from the time we unloaded until we were chucking out decoys at the spot. but the brain trust of what would become the dynamic duo of duck guides that formed Southern Waterfowlers Guide Service were laying on the edge of a boat that was rated for 1.5 of the people that were currently occupying it. I just read that sentence out loud, and while visualizing that memory, I automatically heard the tune Dumb Ways to Die playing in the background. It could have been the theme song on so many of our exploits, but as fate would have it, we all lived. I remember going to the hole that morning before daylight, half hanging out of that boat with my inboard hand squeezing the sugar out of the straps on that decoy bag that I was going to use as my life jacket should the boat decide to give in to physics and try to kill us. And I felt guilty about it after we got there. It was selfish of me to think that I was going to be holding that decoy bag should we turn over. What about my brother? And I wasn't even concerned about the other guy. Well, I mean, I was, but not near as much as my brother. We killed some ducks, a limit as I recall, and haphazardly made our way back to the boat ramp the same way we went out there. Tim and I both laying on the edge of the boat on opposite sides that was cutting through the cold water at the breakneck speed of whatever a 9.9 Johnson could manage, pushing 700 pounds of dumbness across the lake with barely 4 inches of freeboard sticking above the waterline. And when we coasted to the boat ramp, Tim and I both rolled out of that little boat once again, planting our feet on the safety of the concrete. No longer at the mercy of aluminum unsteadiness, the bozo that was driving, or the two morons that went along for the ride. The boat captain walked up the bank to get his truck and trailer while Tim and I stood at the water's edge holding the boat to keep it from floating away. I looked at my brother and I said, Tim, were you scared when we were coming out and you could see how close the water was to the top of the boat? He said, I didn't like it, but I really wasn't that scared. I got to be honest with you, Brent. I didn't know what you had planned, but I had a hold of that decoy bag on the way out there this morning and on the way back. And I knew if that boat went down, I was taking it with me. And that's just how that happened.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there because they're great and they're super friendly and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater.
We've all seen plenty of gadgets and fads come and go, but there's one product that stood the test of time, Seafoam Motor Treatment. Now, lots of hunters and anglers know that Seafoam helps engines run better and last longer. It's really simple. When you pour it in your gas tank, Seafoam cleans harmful fuel deposits that cause engine problems. I'm talking stuff like hard starts, rough engine performance, or lost fuel economy. Seafoam is an easy way to prevent or overcome these problems. Just pour a can in your gas tank and let it clean your fuel system. You probably know someone who's used a can of Seafoam to get their truck or boat going. You do know someone. Me. I've been using it for years. Really. People everywhere rely on Seafoam to keep the trucks, boats, and small engines running the way they should the entire season. Help your engine run better and last longer. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited additional offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. and Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. I never go to a concert without mine, and it was all they could do to keep me off the stage. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. In the late spring of 2023, I got a call from Clay that went something like this. Cameraman Brent Reeves, what you doing? After all these years, that's still how I'm listed in his contacts. Anyway, for those of us who get those calls from Clay, we know that the reaction to and how you respond is very important. There's no telling where this conversation comes from or where it'll end up, so you got to measure your response before you inadvertently commit to some ridiculous project he's dreamed up. Probably after waking up in the barn lot after one of his mules kicked him into Sleepy Town. But I could tell we were going somewhere. I just didn't know where or how soon. And I usually respond with something akin to, where are we going? Whatever my response was, he followed it up with, I want me and you to put a boat in the Mississippi River at Memphis and hunt and fish our way down to Vicksburg. Probably take 7 to 9 days, depending on what we get into. I immediately flashed through a lifetime of navigating up and down the Arkansas River and all the perils me and my brother encountered with just me and him, and also the scores of people that we guided for and transported in boats in good and terrible weather. And I weighed those near-death experiences against all the times that we got off the river alive with all our charges. Pretty sure I'd have remembered if we'd lost anyone or each other, and since none immediately sprang to mind, I responded with, why stop at Vicksburg? The coffee's better in New Orleans. He said, yeah, man, I like it. And from that conversation, the plan was in action. It would also be the easiest part of the whole expedition. Shortly after that initial conversation, I was surfing the web and ran across a clip of President Kennedy giving one of the most motivational speeches about the space program when he said, we choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills, because that challenge is one that we are willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one which we intend to win, and others too. Now, watching that after Clay and my conversation, what I heard him say was, when he said we, was Brent and Clay. And when he said moon, it was Mississippi River, plain as day. I was all in, but Arkansas ain't the Big Muddy. The differences in them was like the difference between the small Saline River that I grew up on, that I could swim from one side to the other and back right now, compared to the bigger Arkansas River. I respected them all, but the Mississippi would have a whole new set of challenges compared to the Arkansas. Most notably would be the amount of barge traffic. Add that into the mix that the river was at an historically low level, significantly narrowed the river to mostly operating within the channel markers. Every boat out there, including the barges, that meant we would all be in close proximity of each other, and they traveled constantly up and down the river, and we wouldn't be able to skirt to the outside edges of the channel, giving them and us a whole lot more room to operate. It wasn't going to happen, not on this trip. Now, people do it every day, but most of those folks are more experienced than I am, even with over a quarter of a century of running up and down the Arkansas, which has an average flow rate of 150,000 gallons a second. As far as I know, the boat we would wind up with would be one of the largest boats Clay's ever been on, and 100% the biggest one he would ever drive, and we were going to do it on the Mississippi River, a river that averages almost 1.6 million gallons per second, more than 10 times that of the Arkansas. we were going to need a bigger boat, and they left it up to me to find one. Other than deciding I wanted to do this adventure, picking a boat was the easiest thing I did. It's got to be a Sea Ark boat. Clay's like, do you know anybody down there? And I said, no, but they're in southeast Arkansas. I used to have an office in Monticello where they're located. I'm from southeast Arkansas. These are my people, and I will know someone there soon enough. Clay just fired off a generic email to the customer service desk at Sea Ark, and in short order, we had a meeting scheduled and done, and I would eventually drive to the boat plant to see the boat being built for us to use on the trip. I can't say enough good things about Steve Henderson, the president of Sea Ark. He more or less said, just tell us what you want and we'll do it. He then introduced us to Jesse Cartwright and John Ed Rowe, both of whom I'd worked closely with over the next few months designing a boat for what we'd need on this grand adventure that we were planning. Now, my contributions to the boat design was limited to asking questions and deferring to the experts of John Ed and Jesse, but I'd been stewing on an idea for a color, and I finally asked John Ed, hey man, what's the chances of getting this thing wrapped in First Light Cash Camo? Now let me tell you this, don't ask them folks to do something that you don't mean, because they're going to find a way to get it done. And they did. They invited me to come down and visit the plant and see our boat in the very beginning stages when it was just a big flat piece of aluminum that to me looked like a big flat piece of aluminum. That's what I saw. But those folks, man, they saw a whole lot more. What I was smart enough to see was a group of people working in southeast Arkansas in August fabricating metal in an environment that's not conducive to cool temperatures. As a matter of fact, it was hot in there. But the vibe, that was cool. They took me around to the different stages of boat building, and I got to meet the people that Steve and John Ed and Jesse bragged on from the moment we came to them with the idea of using a Sea Ark boat. Those folks were working hard, and it was special to me to see the obvious pride and the craftsmanship that these men and women were putting into the boats that they'd never set foot on. To me, that made it just all the more special. I told some of them that would slow down long enough to talk to me about why I was there and what we were planning to do with their boat. Man, in some places it was noisy in there, but they all smiled and nodded and gave me a thumbs up or a few words of encouragement. It was good, and I was thankful for the opportunity to meet them. Every one of them. A big majority of them were from where I'm from, and a lot of us had mutual friends. Before I left that day, our mutual friends list would get a lot bigger. By now, most of you have probably seen our film on the Meat Eater YouTube channel of our Mississippi River expedition. If you hadn't, you better stop now and slide over there and watch it. Last chance if you don't want to know what happens, because I'm fixing to talk about it. In 5, 4, 3, we killed 1 duck, 1 hog, and 3 deer. And had one heck of a time. Now, there's not a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that we didn't talk about in the film, but that boat, my gosh, that Sea Ark boat was an absolute fortress. We were in some pretty nasty cold rain on the last leg of our trip, but Clay, our cinematographers, Isaac Neal and Drew Stickline, me and all our gear, we stayed safe and dry. Once we hit the bank between Greenville and Vicksburg, Mississippi, the hunt was on. Our catfishing plans got canceled when the windy weather got so bad that it was unsafe to be on the water. Now, luckily, that happened after we made it to Thad Miller's hunting camp where we were staying. Our friends Jordan Blissett and Lake Pickle, a couple of Mississippi boys that know how to gather groceries from the woods, pointed us in the right direction, and we concentrated on chasing deer once we saw that the ducks just hadn't made it down in enough numbers to be predictable on where they were going to be hanging out. Deer hunt every day, all day, okay, I'm in. And we did, and we fought the wind. My goodness, we hunted in wind that, had I been at home, I would have rolled over and went back to sleep, and it picked up nearly every day. The day I shot that Mississippi buck, the wind was blowing sustained above 20 miles per hour and gusting up to 40. Bow hunting was really out of the question where I was, but we didn't want to leave because we were consistently seeing deer, good deer. Now, that's a lesson for me. When the rut is on, all the rules go out the window on what deer are going to do in reference to weather, except be unpredictable. Drew Steckline and I was hanging in tree saddles about 20 feet off the ground, and the wind was whooping on us like we were rented mules. He saw the buck first, and I thought I'd have to pass on him because I could never get my rifle settled in on the right spot. Then, as if a miracle, everything came together for one split second, and it was like that rifle fired itself. Bingo! Right in the boiler room. I'd have lost money on betting whether we were going to see any deer that day, and in reality, we didn't see many. We also didn't sit long because before 9 a.m. that morning, Drew and I were bailing out of that tree to go hunt up a blood trail. It was an incredible adventure from start to finish. We left Memphis at the beginning, headed down the river, and slept under the stars on an island. We persevered through bad weather and wet and cold conditions and stuck it out, because a lot of folks had gone to a lot of trouble to help us see this crazy idea become a reality. We owed it to every one of them and to ourselves to see it through. We rolled out of Mississippi after a week with some new friends and an ice chest full of tasty critters. I'm going back this spring to try and put the old razzle-dazzle on a Delta Longbeard, and I'll keep you updated on how that goes. If you hadn't watched the film yet, get yourself over there and check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. I know we had a great time working on it. There's still tickets available at the Meat Eater Live Tour. I know they need to come down south. Y'all just keep holding their feet to the fire, and we'll see if we can make it happen. I like our chances. In the meantime, I know we have lots of friends out west, and that's where the tour is headed in a few weeks. You can find all the information on when and where at themeateater.com/events. Thank y'all so much for listening, and for those who voted early and often for yours truly in the calling contest during Meat Eater's Turkey Week. Man, that was a lot of fun. Until next week, this is Brent Reeve signing off. Y'all be careful.
You ever get that feeling, the walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins.
Outdoor Adventures won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. I do. Now pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more.